Welcome to this, the August 19th, 2012 recorded sermon from First Christian Church of Herrick, Illinois. I apologize for the hiatus that I've taken over the past few weeks, but I was covering a series from Kyle Eidelman's book called Not a Fan, which is really a good book if you ever have a chance to read it. But due to copyright infringements, I decided not to go ahead and post those sermons. But again, you get a chance to read that book, I suggest definitely taking a look at it. This Sunday's message, we actually took a look at Wide is the Road. That's the title of the sermon. And it covers how a lot of people think they are following what is required, but when they're actually going to get there to heaven and be judged, a lot of them are going to hear the words, "Go away from me, I never knew you, you evildoers." Those are the words we definitely don't want to hear Jesus tell us when we get there. So pay attention to the message here, and hopefully this helps get you on the correct track. There are several different passages that we're talking about in here, so if you want to, you can try to follow along, but I jump around from book to book. So sit back, enjoy, and if you have any questions or anything, there's contact information at the end of this podcast. So I'll talk to you later. Good morning again. Welcome to First Christian Church this morning. Glad to see some bright smiling faces here this morning. Like my artwork this morning. Kind of gets a point across, but just kind of following up what we did over the past 6 weeks with the sermon series on Not a Fan, which was produced by Kyle Eidelman. He is a great minister out of Kentucky that not only preaches this message and wrote it in a book, but he also lives this out in his life. And I hope that you understood from that what it is to be a fan and what it is to actually be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you are a follower or moving towards that. It was clear in Kyle's message that there are many fans out there that won't make it into heaven because they're just fans and nothing more. I think too many times we get stuck on the main premise of John 3:16. It's a verse that almost everybody knows, whether they're Christians or not. A lot of people know this. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We get this idea in our heads that all we have to do is believe, and we're good, nothing more, nothing less. If that were the case, we would never need the rest of the book that we call the Bible, which is the living Word of God. In that thinking, we might as well just clip out John 3:16 and throw the rest out. I wouldn't even need to be up here preaching because there's only so much I could preach on John 3:16 before it starts to sound like a broken record and you hear it over and over again. Don't get me wrong, John 3:16 is a great verse and we should understand it. But it does not stand by itself all alone. We cannot pick and choose what we want to take from the Bible. If we're going to take a part of it, we have to take all of it. That means not only reading it, but also applying it in our lives. It's not just enough to read it, which I know not all of us do on a regular basis, but we must also live it out. James tells us this in James 1, verses 22 through 25. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. James also tells us that our faith is tied to our actions. In James 2, verses 14 through 26, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if somebody claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If somebody says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. But some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac at the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, that his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. When we met this past Wednesday for our Wednesday night Bible study, a few of us showed up, a very few of us, but there was a video clip in that Bible study that really had a good analogy of this, and I really liked what it said, and it put it very clear in my mind. Suppose you were really great friends with your neighbor, and you ask them if they would watch your house while you were on vacation and take care of it for you. Being a really good friend and a good neighbor, they agree to and say they'd love to take care of your house. So you went through the trouble of making up this notebook for them that's full of instructions on how to care for the house. When the trash needed to go out for pickup. When and how to feed the pets and take care of them and let them outside when they had to go to the bathroom. Where all the stuff for taking care of the yard and the lawn was kept, and how to do that. Everything that was needed to ensure that the house was taken care of was in that notebook, along with any emergency contact information should any emergencies arrive. Well, they're so impressed with this notebook that all the care that was taken to put into this notebook and put it together, that they read it cover to cover. They even share it with their friends and saying, look at all the good stuff that's in here. And they get together and they study all the great points of this book, this notebook that you put so much time and effort into so they could follow it. Well, a month later, you return from your vacation. As you're pulling up to your house, you see the weeds have taken over the lawn, and it's about a foot tall. All the beautiful blooming flowers that were out front have turned brown and are dying right now. You've got grass and weeds growing up through the cracks in the sidewalk. You get out of the car and you go into the house. It doesn't get any better. You walk in, you see the goldfish floating upside down in the bowl. There is poop all over the floor from the animals that were in there and not let out. But you can't find the dogs or pets anywhere. They're not there. You look in the kitchen, the trash is all piled up in there, and it's stinking really terrible. You hear some rushing water, you open up the basement, a water line had broken in the basement, and it's filling up with water. You happen to look out in the backyard, and you see two mounds of dirt out there. There's some markers next to it, and you finally realize that those are where your dogs are now. You know, you're surprised that they actually went through the effort to bury him, looking at the state of everything else. You go back out to the front to your car to start unpacking it when you see that neighbor that you asked to take care of your house. They come over to you and they're just smiling ear to ear. They're telling you how wonderful this notebook was and how they read through every part of it. And they actually had friends over to study it because it was such a great book. How are you going to react at that time? I mean, the entire place is trashed, the pets are dead, and your neighbors can tell you with such joy how wonderful this notebook was that you gave to them. How are you going to respond? Why should it be any different with God? What would you expect him to say? Well, it's all right. I gave you my son as a sacrifice. I don't expect you to follow all his rules and expectations. All you have to do is believe in him, right? If that were the case, why do we hear these words spoken by Jesus in Matthew 7, 21 through 23? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do what my Father's, who does my Father's will, who is in heaven. Many of you will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons, and in your name, perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. If all we have to do is believe, then why did Jesus even speak these words? It comes down to what that belief is based on. Is it based on the intellects of our minds? You say, well, there's plenty of evidence out there that could lead me to believe that this stuff's true. Therefore, if I follow the premise of John 3:16, I'm saved. Or is it based on something more? Is it based on your heart instead of your mind? Do you have a deep desire for a relationship with Jesus? One that just tears at your heart to a point where you don't know how you could possibly live without him? If you've ever been in love with somebody, you know that feeling. You've felt that before. This should be the driving force behind our relationship with Jesus. And not some intellectual process that this is a good idea to believe just to save your own bacon. Perhaps you've been there, but have since fallen away from that relationship. It happens. Take a look at this video clip. Ryan has come to a place that many of us have found ourselves and we can relate to. Their question is, once we find ourselves in this type of situation, how do we overcome it and get back on track? Well, it's the same with any relationship that we have in our lives that we consider important. If you married and you start feeling this way, you don't just throw in the towel and say, well, I gave up my best shot, I might as well move on. I know that seems to be the popular thing to do in the world today, but that's not a solution. What you do if you want a relationship to work is you talk through things. You talk it out. You spend time together and you reacquaint yourselves with one another. If necessary, you get counseling to work through some issues that you may be having with each other. So why should our relationship with God be any different? You come to him in prayer and meditation. That's how you talk with him. Set some time aside in your day to spend time with God. If you have to mark it down on your calendar, do that. And make that time sacred that you spent with him. Read his word daily. He's spoken to us through his word. We just need to pick it up and read it. You come to church, you praise him through songs and worship and listening to his word. You have to make time for him in your life. If you're going to have a relationship with him and understand his will in your life, ask yourself this question. If I spent as much time with my wife, my husband, whoever, whatever loved one you have in your life, if I spent as much time with them as I do with God right now, where would that relationship be? That might give you a clue as to where your relationship with God is. And maybe you might be feeling a little bit like Ryan in the video. Once that relationship is back and in working order, doing the things that Jesus has asked us to do isn't going to seem as much of a chore anymore. It will be something that we are more than glad to do for someone that we truly love and have a wonderful relationship with. Of course, it's hard work, and sometimes we may not feel like doing the things we ought to do, but if we value our relationship, then we do it for the sake of the whole and sacrifice ourselves. Having a relationship with Jesus was never going to be easy. But is it worth it? If you truly know what's at stake, then yes, it's worth it. Sure, you can take the easy road, which brings me down to the title of our sermon. But that road leads to a dead end, literally, just like the slide shows up there. It's best put in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So are you going to be one of the few that puts in the hard work on this side of the gate? Are you going to coast down the easy road to destruction? I hope and pray that you're in the former group and at least understand what it's going to take to get there. Because I don't want anybody thinking that as they cruise down this wide superhighway that there's a shortcut just before you get to the end. And all you have to do is throw out John 3:16 on that day of judgment. Otherwise, you're going to hear the words out of Matthew 7:23. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Instead, I hope you hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be with each and every one of you on that glorious day when we enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't want anybody left behind. I'm going to close up in prayer here in a few minutes. But just think about that in your lives. Where is your relationship with God and where does it need to be? And what can you do to get there? We struggle with it from time to time, and we end up like Ryan, thinking we're just kind of going through the motions. There's more to it than that. It's about a relationship with a loving God that loves us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. How do we repay that? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord God Almighty, I just pray that you will guide us on our walk, so that we can glorify you in everything that we do. And just give us the strength to make through day by day and do the things that is going to glorify you. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Just strengthen us, give us direction, and help us to be an example to others, Lord. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I would like to thank you for listening to this recorded sermon from First Christian Church of Herrick, Illinois. I hope and I pray that you've taken something away from this that you'll be able to apply in your own life. If you do have any questions or concerns about anything you've heard, or perhaps just something that's been heavy on your heart, please feel free to contact us at any of the following. Our email is herrickchristian, that's all one word, H-E-R-R-I-C-K, Christian, @gmail.com. Our office phone is 618-428-5294. My cell phone number is 618-406-3991. And our Facebook page is First Christian Church of Herod. Also, if you feel like mailing us something, our address is First Christian Church of Herod, 30 South East Street, P.O. Box 266, Herrick, Illinois, 62431. Also, if you feel led to give any donations to advance our ministry, we would greatly appreciate it, and you can mail it to that. As always, may God bless your day as you seek to glorify Him.